And welcome, friends, to this edition of The Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live once again right here from our studios. And we want to welcome you to the Friday morning edition of The Grace Hour. Thanks for joining us today, friends. Hope you can stay with us for the full hour-long live broadcast. And we'll get things started in just a couple of moments with a devotional message to encourage you in your faith. And then, of course, later in the broadcast, we'll open the phone lines, giving you, our listeners, the opportunity to join us live on the air with your comments, questions, testimonies. If you have a counseling need, we're always available to help if we can in any way. It would be a blessing and a privilege to be able to open the scriptures together with you and provide counsel from the Word of God, which is always, well, as we've learned, spot on. And, of course, your prayer requests, they're always welcome here in the Grace Hour. And I think that there's nothing more important or valuable than to have the body of Christ pray for whatever your needs may be at any given moment of your life. So don't hesitate to reach out to us for whatever those prayer needs might be. And you can do so simply by picking up a phone and dialing one of these numbers. The toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Again, it's 800-338-7060. And if you're joining us locally in the greater Baltimore area, because, of course, our broadcast comes to you from the greater Baltimore area, you can dial the local number. It's 410-483-3700. And, of course, we mentioned a moment ago about prayer needs. And Ashley has written to us and said, please pray for me. My husband and daughter, that God would draw their hearts near to him and give them his peace. Well, Father, we do. We pray this at the outset of our broadcast today for Ashley's husband and daughter, that indeed they would draw near to you. And, Lord, we know you have a lot of different ways to make that happen. And it's our heart's desire, it's Ashley's heart's desire. It would be a wonderful way to unite their home and family together in your great peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, we want to remind you that we are live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and welcome to all of you. You can also listen to our broadcast on the many different platforms as we come to you. Our podcast comes to you on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. And it's great to have all of you with us as we get things started on this Friday morning edition of The Grace Hour. Now think about that. It's the morning edition. Again, we have made the transition here in our studios and everyone involved with the broadcast of The Grace Hour, and we trust that all of you are also making that transition to these new morning hours. We're enjoying it very much. We feel, a little bit more brisk, a little bit more alive in the morning. Hope that that's the case with you as well. But we're thrilled to be able to continue the broadcast here from our studios to those of you that are listening around the globe. And that is another unique aspect of the Grace Hour broadcast. We're live, we're online, and no matter where you are, you can listen to the broadcast. If you can't listen to us live, no worries. You can catch up with us later on any one of those platforms and listen to the podcast at your convenience. Well, joining me in the studio for the last broadcast of this week on this Friday morning is Pastor Shibeli, and he's going to be sharing, again, along the lines of this theme that we've had all week long, Holy Grounds, how and where God reveals his presence. And today, Pastor Shibeli will be highlighting from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. What happened to him?
I think he got converted. I think a light shone from heaven.
Amen.
And the road to Damascus became holy ground. I'm sure of that. And I think that's a great portion of scripture from Acts chapter 9. And he did ask a couple of questions as Jesus spoke to him. And I love it. Acts chapter 9. Some of the statements that he made is, who are you? And what will you have me to do? Those are two really interesting questions. who are you? In other words, he was blinded by such a light from heaven that he really didn't have any idea. He was not only was he blinded, but he was stopped kind of in his particular purpose, which was going to Damascus. And he had such a zeal to persecute the church that he would go to foreign cities, just go to foreign cities and wanting to bring people to prison for their following Jesus Christ, whom he sought or thought at the beginning was a false prophet, a false teacher. But he found out later he was Yahweh, God himself. It was God himself. And so two questions that he asked, and we're talking about holy ground. And for him, the road to Damascus would become holy ground. Sometimes people think about holy ground and maybe they have a certain idea that it's the church, and it is in the presence of God in my home, wherever it may be. But he's on his way to Damascus to bring Christians to prison, to persecute them. And this was what his purpose was. And all of a sudden, that road to Damascus, which was a very good road, a natural road, something that was there for him and people to travel on, that became holy ground, because that's where he met God. And I believe the place where you met God, it could be in your home, it could be in church, it could be in a prison cell, it could be anywhere, because God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. And a light shone from heaven and spoke to him. It was God himself. "Who are you, Lord?" I love the answer. I wonder what he must have thought when the answer came. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Uh-oh. In other words, maybe in the natural mind he thought, this is the end for me. It's over for me. "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." You know? And his mentality at that particular time, because he wasn't saved, here comes the vengeance of God. Here comes the zeal of God. Here comes the end of my life. And after he said, "I am Jesus whom you persecuted, rise up, it shall be told you what you must do." Not what you should do, not what you might do, but what you must do. And he really wanted to know those two truths. Who are you and what will you have me to do? I think this is a great question for all of us as believers. If we know who we are in Christ, then I really believe it's very simple to know what we should do. I don't think that's too difficult, you know, for God to handle. One of the big problems is that people do not know who God is. I mean, they can be saved. I can be a born-again believer, and I can tell you when I got saved, I really didn't know God. I had enough knowledge of God imparted to me by the scriptures, but I didn't really know what God would have me to do. And so often we find people struggling with what is the purpose and the plan of God for their lives and what they should do. Well, what should I do? You know, people come to church. People even go to Bible school and they're asking the questions about what they should do. What should I do with my life? What should I do with my life? You know, I think it's more important the fellowship with who Jesus Christ is and who you are in him and who you are in the church. Then will come the unveiling of what you should do. I think we put, you know, the cart in front of the horse, which is not a good idea. It's really not going anywhere. The cart can't lead the horse. So it is the purpose of God that we would get to know him. Paul said it very well in Philippians 3, verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him. And this is so key. And the word to know there is in a progressive purpose clause. And it means that I want to know him and keep knowing him. And that's my entire purpose in life, is to know him, to know God. And I think you can even see that in 2 Timothy 1, 12 to 14, I know, Paul said, whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. I know whom I have believed. Knowing God. Genesis 28 is the interesting verse. I think it's verse 15, 16. Jacob was leaving the promised land, and God, by the way, gave him seven promises on the way out. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I didn't know it. And I want to know. I want to know, you know, these kind of things. What should I do? But first and foremost, do I know God in a personal way? Not just salvation, but knowing God and growing in knowing God. I remember preaching a message one time in Africa called Growing in Knowing, and then Knowing and Growing. So knowing and growing, they go hand in hand. Could it be true that a person never grows because they never go beyond salvation knowledge of who Jesus is? They really never know what to do. They never know what to do. I can think of the things that I thought God wanted me to do. But as I got to know him more and more, I realized that these were just kind of like ideas in my own mind. They weren't bad ideas. They even sounded very good. I thought that I was going to be in the ministry of dealing with alcoholics, drug addicts, and people that committed crimes. I thought that was going to be my life's work. And I went in that direction. There was nothing wrong with that. And I think it's an awesome calling, an awesome purpose. But one time in 1985, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and through preaching and through other people ministering to me, made me realize that God had called me to mission work and had called me to a particular place, and that was Africa. Okay, so as we grow in knowing God, we will find that we will know what to do. And, you know, isn't it the way that people are today? When you meet somebody new, this can happen to all of us. You say, oh, by the way, what do you do for a living? Well, how about I have life and I live? You know, what do you do for a living? You know, and then after you tell them what you do, they categorize you. They categorize you. I'm a doctor. Okay. Then I begin to understand what a doctor's like. Or I'm a student. Or I'm a mother. Or I'm a father. Or I'm a, you know, an engineer. Or I don't even work. You know, we begin to categorize people based upon that response. So what do you do for a living? You know, rather than having life with God and then let God lead us and minister to us in what we should do. Because knowing God is something for eternity, from the beginning of my Christianity, forever and ever and ever. What I'm doing might change. Things that I'm doing and that you're doing, they might change. They can easily change. You know, you look at the life of D.L. Moody and things changed. He started off a certain way and ended up another way. Adoniram Judson, same thing. So we ask that you would just really bless our program today, our time on the air today. And we thank you, God, that we can know you through the Spirit, through the Word, because of grace, in your love and in your mercy, in your purpose, in that which is eternal. So bless our time today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, friends, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, and that wraps up the devotional portion of our broadcast, but we've got plenty of time to take your phone calls, and we would love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this great subject and theme, how and where God reveals his presence? And look at how he did just that with Saul of Tarsus, mm-hmm. who became the Apostle Paul. Wow. How about you? Have you had a Damascus Road experience? Has God turned you around? You were going in one direction. You were living and had your own plans. And then God stepped into your life and dramatically changed things and gave you an eternal purpose. A purpose that, again, now you can realize who you are and what God has for your life. Join us at 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number. in all of North America, and here in the Baltimore area, you can participate as well at 410-483-3700. And Ashley has a question. The question is, how do we discover our calling?
Well, I think there's like five aspects to the call of God. Number one, I'm called to God in salvation. Number two, I'm called to a local assembly. Now, I'm sure that maybe you already understand some of these things, and many people do. So number one, I'm called to God. I'm saved. Number two, I'm called to a local assembly. Some people never find out their purpose in their life in regards to their calling because they never go to church. They don't have a church. So call to God, call to the local assembly. Okay. Then I am called to have my life developed in the local assembly. In other words, I want to grow as a Christian. I want to learn the Bible. Okay. Then number four, I'm called to win the lost. I'm called to the gospel. Called to God, called to the local assembly, called to grow in the Word of God, called to the gospel to minister and evangelize and win the lost. Then we can get to the specific location or what we're doing after that. But some people always want to start like, you know, what's God want me to do? But it doesn't begin there. It begins so much earlier in our Christian life. And with these principles, I think that is key. So then there's prayer. And then also there is getting counsel in the local assembly from leaders and from people who are mature. And they can maybe help you. They can definitely pray. And prayer is a part of knowing too. They can definitely pray with you and for you. And, you know, I really believe God will answer that prayer. Why would God not answer this prayer? God, I want to know what you've called me to do. And God says, no, I'm not interested in telling you. And that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. I think people, as I said, many people just don't want to know. Or maybe they know and they are trying to change God's mind. Has anybody out there ever tried to change God's mind? You know? And I think this is important. So these things, call to God, call to the local church, call to learn the Word of God, call to the gospel, call to receive wisdom from leadership, prayer, and whatnot. And I think you'll come up with the perfect leading of God in all of that.
That's awesome. And you've got a great pastor, Ashley, Pastor Don Barnes.
Oh, okay.
Who's the pastor at the Greater Grace Church in Central Indiana. So I think stay under his ministry and his teaching, and I think that you will discover that call. And you know, interesting, Pastor Shibeli, someone I read some years ago that one brother talking about this important theme of the call of God said, we have to unpack our bags. And what he meant by that was that when God brought you into the world, mm-hmm. It's kind of like when we go on a trip or a vacation. We pack accordingly, depending upon the climate or wherever it is that we're going. Well, God knew you would come into this world. God knew that you would respond to the offer of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So he packed your bags. Unpack them. Find out what
yes.
your gifts, your talents, your
yes.
abilities. And I like what one brother also said. He said, don't ignore the longings and the desires of your heart. Now, again, we're talking about those longings and desires being acceptable and mm-hmm. legitimate before
sure.
God, nothing sinful. But if mm-hmm. you pay attention to those things, you'll discover that the call of God is not that much different than what's in your heart.
Sure, sure.
So it's fascinating. And add to it all of those beautiful principles that you shared, yeah, you'll be able to come to grips and come to an understanding of your calling. Phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-338-7060 and the local number mm-hmm. 410-483-3700. Pastor Shibeli, personally speaking, from your perspective, do you feel as though, you know, you're doing exactly what you were meant to do in your life?
I never know. No, yes. I think I would believe that yes. Yes, I would say yes. But I can also say that I have made many steps in other directions, and God lovingly just corrected it. See, you know, some people never, ever experience the call of God because they're not willing to take a step out. But I'm thinking first, as I said in the beginning, learn the foundations. Get the foundations and the basics right. Then the particulars will come. God is much more really readily available to give us all the foundations that are in the Christian life, and then he will lead us. Why wouldn't God want to lead you? You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But there has been times, I can think when I was doing ministry in the streets and working with addicts and people in prisons and whatnot, that maybe I could have thought that was going to be my life's work. But then all of a sudden, Africa came on the scene, you know? And then I thought maybe I'm just going to live in Africa for the rest of my life, and then ended up in Baltimore, you know? And who knows, you know, just be available to hear from God. And how do I hear from God? Through my studying of the Bible, through the Holy Spirit's ministry to me, through the preaching of the word, the teaching that comes from the pulpit, through body life, experiencing, listening to people, getting wisdom from people, and actually like looking for wisdom, even without saying, hey, could you give me some wisdom? You know, but just listening, just always listening and hearing. And then God will put all the pieces together. You know, he'll put the pieces together.
Amen.
Why wouldn't God want to lead us?
Yeah.
I mean, why is it people think God's trying to trick you?
Yeah.
Remember that show many, many years ago about, you know, you have to pick a certain door? I can't remember the name of it, but it was maybe it was before your time. It was
My time. I'm trying to, yeah. Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal. And you have to pick a door. You think God wants you, I just can't wait for them to go through the wrong door so they'll fall flat in their face, fall into this big ravine. No, that's not God. God desires to lead us, and he wants us to be in the perfect plan of God.
Amen. Sometimes it involves seeking, asking, yes. Knocking.
Yes, seeking,
right?
Asking, and knocking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think God wants us to exercise our faith as we move in that direction and try to understand and discover his call in our lives.
Do I want to do just what I think God wants me to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you become the planner with the purpose, then you become the executor of the plan, and then you become the revealer of the plan. But none of it's from God. I become the person. I become the father. By the way, yeah, a person can become Trinitarian in one aspect. They can say, this is the plan. I'm going to execute the plan, and I'm going to reveal it to everybody. No, the Father has the plan.
Amen. Well, let's go to our first caller today on the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. That's Deborah, and she's listening to us out in Greenwood, Indiana. Deborah, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, I thought that is a very, he has done so much in the Bible, Paul, of course, what you were talking about before, how he, when he was Saul, he was such a mean man, and he thought he was doing righteous. And but I did have a couple of questions or prayers, and one of them is, I'm still growing. Of course, I'm wanting to soak him up, but I feel like when I got close to Jesus, close to the Father, that I did not want to do any wrong. I do not want to displease him. I do not want to sin. I don't know. I know I'm a sinner on earth until that great day comes, but I just wanted to ask for prayers. I called about my mother. The other day, she's bedfast, and she has caregivers, and I go up there daily, and she's always, I don't think they're taking care of her, and we've been through many companies, and she gives them money, and I feel grieving over it, and I don't know, I know God has been fighting my battles, and he's in front of me, and beside me, and walking with me. And I just really don't know what to do about that, to stand back, because I have a whole family, and they're not, I don't know if they're in the walk I'm in. They seem to get very frustrated when I'm around, because I'm always speaking of God.
Yeah.
And so it's a real tough thing.
Well, I think it's important for you to be quiet before God, be still and know that he is God, and pray. And just continue to minister. What are the options for, it's your mother, right? What are the options? Stay where she is. Are there any other options?
To a nursing home, and she does not. She still has her mind, but I think she's getting a touch of dementia because she's very confused sometimes. High lows.
Yeah.
Now, does the rest of your family, Deborah, are they united in terms of what should be done for your mom?
They want her to have her wishes, but they're never home. I'm the only one home. I have a brother and a sister that lives with her, and my sister leaves at 9:30 in the morning and doesn't come back till night. And so they don't know what's going on in the house. And I'm just totally like in tears all the time. And that's not of God. I know he doesn't want me mourning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like maybe you really kind of have to get together with your family so that all of these concerns can be ironed out.
Yes. And that's the very logical answer. And they won't talk to me normally or sit with me because I don't know why. I believe it's because I'm of God. I don't know why. I've never seen anything like this. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot of things, but I never knew I had enemies. And yes, you do. yes, you do. Love your enemies. And I love my enemies because I think they're coming right through. The darkness is coming right through my family. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to judge that, but
sure.
Maybe what you
have to do is when you get together with them, say, look, this isn't about me. It's not about you. This is about our mom and, you know, having and wanting the best for her and the best care we can possibly give her. So kind of sidestep that issue if they have some concerns about you or if there's some friction between siblings. You know, say, let's put that aside and let's focus on the needs of our mom.
And and maybe sometimes what has to happen too, and I know that I had real struggles when I got saved, and the opposition of the family was everywhere, okay? And it was kind of like one time I got some advice from someone, and they said, like, instead of always talking about God and the Bible, why don't you just be the Bible to them? Because that's causing antagonism. They could see it. I couldn't see it. So maybe I don't have to prove I'm a Christian by quoting verses or talking about God. I'm not saying you're doing that, but maybe it's just prayerfully be quiet and when you're around them and just really trust God for what the results will be, what will take place, you know?
I'm very quiet, and I try to be the peacemaker, but it's not working. So I thought maybe I should just say nothing at all, and God is out of mind. You know, he's always working. He's always got.
Yeah.
It's going to be the way he wants it to be. Mm. And I had another prayer for my my son and his wife and the children. Their two children. They're doing wonderfully, except for my son. Her daughter's young, and my son just seems to be like easy to anger. And he's the man of God, but he's. It's like something's wrong is happening to him, and I don't know what it is, so I don't know. I just would like prayer, if you
sure,
could pray.
Sure.
And, you know, and
thank you. And I wondered if you do have a place to call, like as far as me, for like, I need to go through the Bible with someone. Is there someone, or else go to a, I don't have my own church. Mm-hmm. I've been to church.
Where do you live?
I live in Greenwood, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Now, I do go to Greater Grace. Every chance I get, I like going there.
Okay, mm-hmm. with Pastor Don Barnes?
Yes, and
great.
I will be going this weekend.
Wonderful. Well,
that's
your church, right?
But you know what? Yes, I would love to just go like every chapter and just with someone. And that's probably hard to do, right? I just love it. Talk about the Bible.
Well, you know, maybe just you find some accountability partner, someone that wants to study the Bible with you on a consistent basis, or a portion of the Bible each day, a good devotional book each day. That's gonna help to strengthen your faith and give you divine perspective as well.
Yeah, and
thank you so much.
Yeah, one of the most important things is just you're in the book, and the book is in you, and then you're in the church, you know.
Yeah,
and so God is gonna cause you to grow. It's gonna happen, absolutely.
And this greater grace hour has helped me tremendously.
Good,
mm-hmm.
Keep listening, Deborah. Before we let you go, we'll pray with you. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Father, first of all, we pray for Deb's mother and the care and the needs that she has, and we just pray, Father, that Deborah and her siblings would be able to come together and provide the best possible care that they can for her mom at this particular time. Give them direction, give them wisdom, give them a spirit that's united. May every one of them be on the same page with the same love and the same care for their mom. And then for Deborah's son and his wife, the two children, Lord, we just pray. Whatever it is that we may be wrestling with or dealing with, the answer is always the same. Draw near to God.
Yes.
Develop your trust in him. You develop your dependence upon him. Do this for her son and his wife and the children. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
800-338-7060, that's toll-free, in all of North America. So you can be in Canada, you can be in North Dakota, you can be in Maine, you can be in Oregon, Washington State. Yeah, you know, wherever you are, give us a call. And locally, right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700.
And also, Deborah, if you're still listening, feel free to call us at any time off the air.
That's right.
Call my office, the missions office, and ask for me. And, you know, what? It's no problem. We have people that are here that could talk with you, pray with you, counsel with you at any time. So don't be shy.
Amen. You know, those two all-important questions that you brought out in the devotion today, you know, first of all, Saul of Tarsus says, well, who are you? And then the second question was, Lord, what will you have me to do? You know, both of those questions were very precisely answered. Mm-hmm. And then I love the fact, you get a little later in that ninth chapter in the book of Acts, and God says these words. He says, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then listen to this. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I mean,
a lot of people don't like that.
I know. Even as I read it, I think, do we have to have that included in the package?
Yeah, that was going to be.
But the answer is yes. Yeah. That's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah. What you're going to have me to do is you're going to lead you, and then there's going to be difficulties, you know? And, you know, sometimes the word suffering, it's really interesting how it actually can be interpreted. We often think of physical suffering, whatnot, but it can be so many different types of suffering. It could be. Someone once said, suffering is when you're subject to evil. I could be subject to the evil of my old sin nature, subject to the evil in this world, subject to the attack of the devil and demons. So suffering can be very interesting. Sometimes we always equate it with something only physical, but it can be something that's beyond that even, you know. And there's a lot of suffering that goes on in people's minds as they, maybe they're in a situation like she's in. Maybe she's not suffering physically, but she's there's suffering because everything around her could be contrary to God.
Amen. We want to pray also for Hane Pinkova. She says, please pray for me. I'm in excruciating pain. I will see a neurologist today at 2:45 p.m. I know my calling, and I can only do it with God's strength. Well, Father, we pray for Hane.
Yes, God.
This sounds like she's in a great deal of pain. Lord, if anyone knows what pain is like and suffering is like, it's you. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and all points tested just as we are. So please, Father, we pray that you would just deliver her from that pain and bring relief from it and just heal her. We pray that that visit to the doctor today would be profitable for her, grateful for her life of faith. Bring great blessings into her heart today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go down to Argentina, friends.
Argentina.
Pastor Stan Collins is joining us on the Grace Hour. Pastor Stan, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be with you guys. We're having a church camp here in Rosario, Argentina.
Wow.
We're actually just getting ready to have lunch, but I thought I would just call in and tell you guys how much we love you.
That's awesome. Now, are you out in the country somewhere, or are you right in the city?
Actually, we're doing our church camp this year right on the outskirts of the city so that we can better do evangelism.
Amen.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
So tell us, how are things going in Argentina?
Well, it's really encouraging. We have a lot of, you know, there's new families joining us, and we're actually having a real special time of evangelism in these days, and a lot of unity in the body. We have Pastor Lemos and a group from the church in Granburg, which is right outside of Buenos Aires, who they brought a couple of like medium-sized buses up here with people, and so we have that church joining us here in Rosario, along with our people, and it's just a great time here. We have a little like a conference center, and good food, and good fellowship, and great preaching. Pastor David Wilicek is with us from Tennessee.
Wow, exciting!
Yeah, it really is.
That's fantastic.
Wow, Tennessee,
it really is.
The Davy Crockett of the Christian Church.
Now, hey, Pastor Stan, were you recently in the country of France?
I was actually recently, just I think it was just a few days ago.
Wow!
It was earlier this week. I woke up in Montpellier, France, and then you know somehow I got back over here.
Parlez-vous français? Parlez-vous français?
Un petit peu.
There you go. That's my answer all the time too.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I took 3 years of French in high school, but you know, who was paying attention to
nobody was
back then.
Yeah.
Oh, how I wish I paid attention.
You know, I took three years of Spanish, and I don't think I know anything.
Wow. And as you were saying that about your French ability, Pastor Philippe Siragi walked by and kind of shrugged his shoulders like, why didn't he pay attention?
Yeah. The French are good at shrugging. They have a, it's like a
you just got Sebastian Palmieri. You just jabbed him.
Oh boy. We're alienating ourselves today.
Wow. Shrugging, huh?
Hey, ministry is where it's at, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
What a blessing. What a blessing it is for us to be. We sat down. We were sitting down early this morning. I said, but there was that's the nice thing about a camp. The best part of the camp is the early morning and the late night, because nobody's going anywhere. They're just here. And we're up, have a coffee or whatever. Here in Argentina, they drink like a herbal thing called mate, but you know, that hasn't sunk into me. So, but we're up and we're just talking about the Bible, and just say like, hey, let's talk about the book of, I think we talked about the book of Ruth. We just went through the book of Ruth together. What a blessed time just to open the Word of God. And the guys were saying, the one brand new guy from the Granburg Church, he came with Pastor Lemos and this guy's name is Raul, and he said, this is amazing. He said, like, in this church, you guys teach me the Bible.
Wow.
I'm actually learning the Bible. And he said, it's so good, because like when it was just, you know, when it's just emotions, they come and go, but the Bible stays.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, a lot of churches today, Pastor Stan, people can't even say that. Right, they go to church, but they don't have the Bible taught to them. I don't know what they're getting, but when you get the Bible, when you get the Word of God, you get the words of life, and it quickens you.
Well, we thank God for. Yep. I mean, you know, it was back in 1974 when my mom told me this guy is coming to Pittsburgh. She was listening to radio. She was listening to, what was it called, Telephone Talk Time back then.
That's right.
And she said, this preacher, and she knew I wasn't really walking so well with the Lord at that time. And she said, there's this preacher who I think you will enjoy him, and he will touch your heart. Yeah, and he's coming to Pittsburgh. So I drove down to the city and heard Pastor Stevens. I think it was 1974 or 5, one of those years right in there. And that was when I started thinking about like, cause I think Pastor Stephen said, I started thinking about ministry, I guess, because I think that what I got from him was not just that he believed what he was saying, but that somehow he believed that it was possible for me to walk mm-hmm. the same way that he was walking.
Wow. Beautiful. That's amazing.
We've got one of your missionaries here for a while. I don't know how long. Oliver T. Rowan.
Yes. Yes. He's coming back. He's coming back.
Yeah.
We got. I think he's really falling in love with the Latin America. It's hard to not fall in love with the people wherever you're going.
We're praying for him and his situation. That would be absolutely done. He'd be able to be here for a bit and then go back. So we'll keep that in prayer.
Now, before we let you go, Pastor Stan, when we see Oliver, we'll have to ask him. We'll pass on what you have to say. Do you want him back?
Yeah, we do. He knows that. I'm going to be up there with you guys for the MBCNS graduation.
Oh,
so that's coming right up too.
Absolutely. Yeah, a little over a week. So that's wonderful. Yeah. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
Have a great camp and give our love to all the saints there.
Will do.
Amen.
Yeah. God bless. And. Oh, Jean-Luc Maigret says, and from France, he says, don't forget, you must improve your French, Pastor Stan.
Oh, boy. So you got a comment from France.
Yeah, that's right. He says, thank you for the amazing portion you had here among us all. That's from Pastor Jean-Luc. So he must have been at that conference as well in Montpellier. That's awesome. Praise God.
That's where he's from.
Oh,
sure,
well, there you go. So I think we could all say that. I mean, he could address us all, right? We all have to improve on our French.
Sebastian's sitting over there thinking that ain't going to happen. Well, hey, with God, everything is possible.
That's right. Roberta McFarland says, I was brought in through the radio program into the church back in 1973. Roberta, that's when I first started listening to Telephone Time with Pastor Stevens in the Boston area. She says, but now... I cannot hear any longer. She's deaf.
Really?
Yeah, hearing impaired. But I'm able to read captions, and I'm still lifting up the Word of God, eternal life in the corporate body with Jesus. So that is amazing. Thank you, Roberta. We love you, and we say that with caps as well. Appreciate you reaching out to us. 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, friends, and locally in the Baltimore area. You can join us at 410-483-3700. You know, Pastor Schiavelli, going back to your devotional thoughts, this whole idea of identity, you mentioned like when you ask people, what do you do? And then they tell you what they do. It's almost as if they're telling you who they are.
Yes.
But they're not. They're telling you what they do. I remember vividly having a chapel service one night with all of the NBA players. They came into the chapel, and this was, you know, an hour before game time. And I asked them the question about the subject of identity. I said, who are you? And I asked each one of them, and each one of them said the same thing. I'm a basketball player. I'm an NBA player. I'm a professional. And I said, it's interesting that every one of you told me what you do, but not one of you told me who you are.
Who you are. And that's interesting. Wasn't that what happened with Moses? When he came to the burning bush, he says, who am I? He doesn't even know who he is. Like, he needs to understand and grow in who he is before he's going to be able to go back to Egypt and do what God has called him to do. And, you know, identity comes before ability.
Yes.
And so some people are always looking at the ability aspect, but do you understand identity, who you are in Christ, who you are in the church, who you are in the purpose and plan of the Father? Who are you? And this identity crisis, you know, and that's what's taking place. You know, I mean, Satan had a problem with identity. He wants to be like the Most High, but you're just an angel. Sorry to tell you that, you know, you're just an angel. And not only do you want to be like the Most High, you like to usurp authority over the Trinity, you know. So understanding my identity in Christ, not, you know, my job is not my identity. My culture is not my identity. My age is not my identity. My financial classification is not my identity. My failure is not my identity. My sin is not my identity. My old sin nature is not my identity. My identity is who I am in Him. And that's why Paul spent so much of Ephesians talking to the church at Ephesus about their identity in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 2. There's so many truths. In. Knowing your identity. It's not till chapter 4 where he says, now, you know, walk according to your vocation. I, the Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He doesn't get to what you should do. And that's the same thing with Colossians 1 and 2. Identity 3 and 4. Practical. Romans chapter 1 through 11, identity. Then present your body a living sacrifice, what you should do. You know?
Yeah.
And we get that backwards. When we're trying to just find out what we should do, it becomes very confusing.
Yeah.
Get to know who you are in Christ, and then you'll know exactly what to do.
Absolutely. Because, again, we have a culture today that's built around discovering what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Pursue that career.
Yes.
Get that education. Make that money. You know, prepare yourself and your family for your future. All of those things are perfectly fine in and of themselves. But if you don't settle the issue, the identity issue, then it's safe to say that no matter when it happens, you're headed for an identity crisis.
A crisis. You know what happened to me? Like, I remember I got tired of being referred to as a person in this family or that situation or whatever. And I decided I was leaving America, so I went to Europe, and I found myself in the Swiss Alps. And I thought by leaving a location, I was going to have a great peace and really find out who I was. I realized up in the Swiss Alps, still me. The old sin nature is with me. The old sin nature didn't need a visa, I did. The old sin nature didn't need a ticket on the plane, I did. Right? I mean, it just, I realized locational change is not what does it.
It's, you mean, not wherever you went, you took yourself with you.
Wherever I went, I took myself with me. So basically, people have this idea that, you know, maybe a locational change will alter their identity, you know? And that's very interesting to me, you know? How, you know, that just never happens. It doesn't happen. You know?
I think it's important that we encourage even young people as early as possible to discover their identity in Christ.
In Christ.
And I think another way of saying that is you have to get to know who God is, because again, the two are inseparable. When you get to know who God is, you're going to discover who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the answer from God when Moses asked that all-important question, who am I? Which is a question focused on identity. Well, the answer was, I am that I am.
Yes.
God was saying, in effect, Moses, your identity is wrapped up in your understanding of who I am.
Imagine
you know who I am, you'll know who you are.
Imagine taking 11 poor Galilean fishermen, very little education at all, no money, no education, weren't even liked by a whole lot of people. You know, can any good thing come out of Nazareth and Galilee? And all of a sudden, you're going to use these 11 men to reach the world. And their ability would be based upon their identity in Christ. Remember? So these are just ignorant and unlearned men. They said about them, Acts 4:11-13. So their identity, according to the world, was ignorant and unlearned. According to God himself, they were going to be his ambassadors. You know, he saw them in himself. And so really, it's like having the right eyesight, spiritual eyesight. How do I see myself? Remember what Isaiah? How did Isaiah see himself? I am unclean and undone. How did God see him? I'm going to use you to reach nations. I'm unclean and I'm undone. What's your identity? I'm unclean and I'm undone. I am full of sin and I can't do anything. And God said, I'm going to change that.
Wow.
So he would. So then I've always preached this message in different places. Woe is me became go is me when he got the identity correct. The woe is me became the go is me. When the identity is correct. So what are people trying to do? How are they trying to, you know, get involved with missions and get involved with Christianity in their local city, in their local assembly, by always doing, by promoting the do, and not promoting who I am in him?
Mm.
Key.
Oh, it is. I remember that struggle, you know, as I was reaching the end of high school, and I was starting to feel the pressure from parents and others around me saying, okay, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I kept thinking to myself, I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I know what I'm going to do when I don't even know who I am?
You know who you are.
It's almost like they were getting the cart before the horse. And you, when you do that, you don't go anywhere. You don't get anywhere.
I didn't really have that problem with my parents about this, you know what you're going to do. They just wanted me to stop being a criminal. That was about it. You know, it's like, you got to stop. This lifestyle has to end. You know, they were concerned with what I was doing. You know, and they thought if I stopped doing a certain thing, I was going to change. You know, no, no, you can just become a sophisticated one. You can do it through legal means, right? Aren't there a lot of legal criminals around?
Sure. White collar crime.
Oh, God, it's all over the place.
I think my parents were just hoping that I wouldn't end up a criminal. I think that's what their goal was. If you don't do something, you're going to end up a criminal.
Oh,
but hey,
boy.
You know, and then what's even more amazing is that I got saved.
Yeah.
And that really threw them into a tizzy.
They didn't even want that, did they?
No, that was that's the worst decision you could make.
Oh,
now you've lost your mind. But in reality, we got the mind of Christ.
We got the mind of Christ.
Hey, Pastor Schibelli, people are asking, is there a class tonight?
Yes, there is.
There is?
Absolutely. We're going to have, not only are you going to have a class tonight, we're going to have it on 2 Timothy chapter 4. No man stood with me, his last words, but the Lord stood with me, strengthened me. And by me, preaching might be fully known, and I was delivered. And then we're going to have pizza, too. We're going to have class and an end-of-the-year pizza party.
Wow.
So you're all welcome. I don't know how many pizzas I have to get.
Well,
I'll have to get more.
If you're extending the invitation to all of our listeners, you may have to
Instead of getting two pizzas, some people getting two, they'll get one. I don't know. We'll make it work.
You'll make
it work. Yes, there'll be a class at 6 o'clock. And it'll be probably till 7, and then the pizza party will begin.
Hey, how about that? Where do you get that in Bible college? You get
the Word of God
and pizza.
Right. And instead of taking a grueling examination for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, if the Apostle Paul were here today, he'd be at that class.
He would.
The Word
they be
and pizza?
Something else. Yeah. I don't know. What did they eat in those days?
No.
Nobody really knows.
No, we don't. We got a couple of minutes left, friends. If you want to join us, 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And if you're listening to us in the Baltimore area and joining us there, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Kathy says, thanks so much for the gift of the Grace Hour. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's a gift to you and you, the folks that listen to us, the Grace Hour friends and family. You're a gift to us, so we appreciate it. It goes both ways. And Judy Lee, we're grateful for you. You've been listening to the Grace Hour for decades.
Decades.
And we really appreciate you tuning in and contacting us on a consistent basis. You're a blessing to all of us here at the Grace Hour.
Wow. And we also have church this weekend?
Yes, we do.
I will be up with Pastor Lance in Johnstown, New York, Saturday and Sunday.
Johnstown, New York.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's that?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I got somebody going to have to
I know there's
out
a Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
No, there's a John. I think it's Johnstown, New York. I wish she could have called in. I would have said something at the beginning of the program. It's my fault, but I'll be there in Johnston, New York for Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. Somebody's putting a map up there.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Oh, okay. Looks like it's northwest of Albany.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, that's up there, Pastor. Yeah, that's
Albany?
That's
how many hours? It's 5 hours, they said.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going up to Canada, which is good, but you may still see some traces of snow up there. Who knows?
Woohoo!
It's always a possibility. So it is. It's Johnstown, New York.
Yes.
You don't want to get it mixed up with Johnstown, Pennsylvania, because you'll be going in a completely different direction.
Or Johnstown, Rhode Island?
Yeah.
There's also one there,
that's
too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'd be in the wrong place.
Yeah, exactly.
Preaching the right message in the wrong place.
Yeah.
That would not be very
now,
bad.
Who is Pastor Lance? I'm not sure. Do we know
Brodowski,
him?
He was.
Okay.
He was years in Hungary.
Oh,
with Pastor
I know who you're
Schaller.
Talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
That's the
sure.
pizza church, right? Used to be the pizza
yes,
church.
Yes, that's right.
That's what we're having. And we're having pizza tonight in the class.
Wow.
And I heard that my wife told me she was going to make a pizza today. So I'm going to have like pizza come out of my ears.
You're going to be all pizzaed out by the time the weekend ends. Well, again, if you're up in that Albany, New York area, and you can go out, join Pastor Schibelli, Pastor Lance, have a great time up there. Yeah, he's a wonderful man of God. And we get to know him up there when we visit Pastor David Moore.
It's not even far from Massachusetts. They could come from Marlboro or Springfield, whoever, whatever.
Yeah. The more the merrier, right?
The more, yeah, oh yeah.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, friends, we just have a couple of minutes left in the broadcast. It's been a great week here in the Grace Hour. And you go back to Monday's broadcast, Moses and the burning bush, the presence of God revealed there. Joshua, the fifth chapter, the captain of the Lord of hosts, again appearing to Joshua at a critical hour, a critical moment, as they were preparing to go into the promised land. And then Wednesday's broadcast in Daniel chapter 3, the Son of God showing up in the furnace with the three Hebrew boys. Pastor Stephen's message on accepting God's time of visitation was powerful, and a lot of you responded to that message. And we were saying to a brother yesterday how timeless Pastor Stephen's messages are. It's really incredible. You would think, based upon listening to his message, that he preached it yesterday, when in fact, in some instances, it was years ago, even decades ago. But that's the nature of the Scripture. It's timeless.
Timeless.
It's always applicable.
Eternal and personal.
Boy, it certainly was yesterday as we listened to that message. And then today, Acts chapter 9. Wow, what a turnaround for Saul of Tarsus, huh?
Complete turnaround.
Isn't it a great message in
that's
that?
That's what our country needs.
Yeah.
That's what individuals need.
Absolutely.
Every one of us, some measure.
And there's a great message in that chapter as well. It's for us to take away, and it's don't write anybody off. Because there may be some people that we think, no, last person want in church is that guy.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure saints said that in the early church, didn't they?
Could you imagine? And he tried to join them in Jerusalem. They said, like, please go someplace else.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't want him around.
Didn't trust him.
They didn't know. You sure he got converted?
You know? And didn't Ananias say that when God spoke to him and said, hey, I'm sending you Saul? He says, no, it's a trick. I can't trust him.
Yeah. Not that man.
Anybody but him. But hey, that's how God sometimes operates. So maybe there's somebody that you know, somebody in your life, and you're thinking, boy, this is a person that is anti-Christ, anti-gospel, anti-message.
Prayer.
Yeah, pray. Pray. You never know. God could convert that soul, raise that individual up, call him, commission him to preach the gospel, and he could turn the world upside down.
And we're still reading about him, you know, thousands of years later. You know, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him, speaking about him, preaching what the Holy Spirit gave him in the Scriptures. And it's amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. We're still on the road to Damascus.
We're still on the road.
Amen. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. I want to remind you, Sunday here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, we have our services Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Greater Grace Christian Academy graduation is Saturday at 1 o'clock. So if you can come out, we'd love to have you. God bless you. Have a great weekend.